some halachos that I've been thinking of that relate to Tisha B'Av. And I suppose next week we should start something new. Maybe we could talk about ideas afterwards. So there's two ways to experience a yontif, to sort of overgeneralize. So the first is to do the acts and eat matz on Pesach and hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah and the like. And the second is to experience the emotions of the yontif. So obviously everyone does the former, but what's oftentimes very difficult, and I include myself here, is that I often fail in the latter. So it's easy to do the former. You just do whatever it says in the Shulchan Aruch. But experiencing the yontif, the emotions of the yontif, is very difficult. And this is true for every yontif. On Pesach, you could eat matz and maror, but not experience cheras. Or you could truly experience cheras. In Shavuos, you can learn a lot of Torah and go to a lot of shiurim, eat a lot of blintzes, or you can experience matan Torah. On Rosh Hashanah, you could hear shofar, or you could feel that it's mamash a yom adin. And while this is true with all yomim tovim, I think it's especially difficult with Tisha B'Av. Obviously not classically a yontif, but the same dichotomy exists. A person can do all the maisim, they can sit on the floor, and they could say kinos all morning, and obviously they're not going to eat, and they're not going to drink, and they're not going to wash their hands normally, and the like. But one can do all that and fail to experience the emotions that one is supposed to experience on Tisha B'Av. Fail to experience the true sense of sadness and avelus and the like. And it's difficult, because while the maisim are within our control, we all have the ability to do the acts of a yontif, or the acts of avelus. We could sit on the floor, we could go to kinos. That's in our power. But experiencing the emotions is not necessarily within our acts. Even if we want to, we can't just turn it on. And it's a bit depressing, because sometimes we really want to experience those emotions, but fail to do so. In thinking about this, especially on Tisha B'Av, so I think part of the yesod is to think about why we're really sad. What are we mourning on Tisha B'Av? So the initial answer that comes to mind is all of the tragedies that took place. There are five terrible things Chazal tell us that happened on Tisha B'Av: the Gzeira of the Meraglim, the destruction of both Batei Mikdash, and we're sad because of those horrible events. And it didn't just stop with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but we mourn the Crusades, and we mourn the Chmelnytsky massacres, and we mourn the Holocaust, and the kinos that we say on Tisha B'Av are all about those horrible acts of persecution and the like. But I think that's only part of it. Because if that's it, so you could say that maybe we shouldn't sit on the floor any longer on Tisha B'Av. It's true that those problems aren't entirely solved. There's still anti-Semitism in the world. Baruch Hashem, though, we live in a very safe country. I don't know about you. I myself, I don't think I've ever personally experienced any act of anti-Semitism, at least that I'm aware of. And I think that's true for most of the people that I know. And again, Obviously, there are places in the world that's an issue. But and again, I don't want to minimize it. And perhaps it's getting much worse. And things that are going on in college campuses and in certain countries in the world that are even Western countries, it's a real thing. But it's still largely, at least, we hope it remains this way, something of the past. And even more, Baruch Hashem, we have Eretz Yisrael, there's autonomy. Again, things are not perfect there. The tragic events of last Friday night highlight the fact that we're very far from safe in our own homeland. But nevertheless, we have autonomy. We have a country that would accept us with open arms should we ever wish to go, and they wish for us to go, and we can go. I remember an incident. I think I was about 14 when this happened, and I was visiting my cousins in Israel, second cousins, third cousins, a very wonderful family, and they were saying some type of Dvar Torah. And without thinking about it much, I mentioned that we're in Galus. So my cousin says to me, "What are you talking about? We're not in Galus. We live in Israel. If you choose to live in America, that's your problem. But how could you say we're in Galus? As far as I'm concerned, Galus is over. Maybe Mashiach didn't come yet. Things aren't perfect. But how could you say we're still in Galus?" That was her question. That's a good point. So, what is it that we're still mourning? And the answer, I think, is it's not just about our physical state, but it's about our spiritual state. And if that's the case, so then perhaps there's more to mourn about now than ever before. And that's true even if one is living in Eretz Yisrael. On Tisha B'Av, we are bemoaning our heart of stone. On Tisha B'Av, we're sitting on the floor precisely because of what I said before. Because we don't even feel what we're missing. That's why. Because it's so easy for us to experience a whole Yantif without experiencing the Yantif. And in a certain sense, things are so bad that we don't even realize how bad they are. There's an incredible nevuah in Yechezkel. It's a very famous nevuah from Perek Lamed Zayin. The nevuah of the story of the dry bones. I'm going to read it to you. And what I want you to think about is, what is this nevuah describing? Ka'amar Hashem Elokim La'atzmos ha'ela. Hine ani mevi vachem ruach v'chisem. So Hashem prophesies, or I should say, Yechezkel prophesies about these bones. And Hashem says, I'm going to breathe life into these dry bones. V'nasati aleichem gidim, v'aleisi aleichem basar, v'karamti aleichem or, v'nasati b'chem ruach v'chisem. V'idatem ki ani Hashem. So I'm going to put sinews upon you and flesh upon you and cover you with skin, and you'll know that I'm God. V'nibesi ka'asher tsuvesi. So I did as I was told. V'hi kol kihinav'i v'hine ra'ash v'atikrivu atzamos etzem el atzmo. V'ra'isi. So there was a great ruach, and the bones came close together. There was this dry, giant field of dried out bones, and they come back to life. V'ra'isi v'hine alem gidim uvasar ala v'yikram alem or milamala v'ruach ein bohem. So the bodies are coming together, but there's still no ruach. So Hashem says, prophecy to the ruach. Hinave ben Adam v'amarta el haruach cholamar Hashem elokim me'arba ruchos v'oi haruach ufechi baharugim ha'ela v'yichiu. V'hina besi kasher tzivani v'tavo v'amaruach v'yichiu. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and ruach came, and these dried out bones became living people. And they stood up, an incredible army, incredible people. Who are these dried out bones that have now come to life? They are Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael say, we are dried out. We no longer have any hope. We're cut off. Lachen hinavei, v'amarta aleim chomar Hashem Elokim, hine ani poseach es kivroseichem, v'aleisi eschem mekivroseichem, ami. Behevesi eschem al admas Yisrael. So Hashem said, say to them, I am Hashem, I am going to open up your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you to Eretz Yisrael. V'idatem ki ani Hashem bepischi es kivroseichem uva'alosi eschem mekivroseichem ami. And you'll know I'm Hashem for having done this. V'nasati ruchi vachem, I'm going to put my spirit in you and you'll live. Yinachti eschem al admaschem, and I will leave you in your land. Vidatem ki ani Hashem dibarti vasisi num Hashem. So who are they? Who are these dried out bones? So according to the Ramban, the Kuzari, the Gra, this is not a prophecy about Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim will come in the end of days. That's not what this is talking about. What is this nevuah? This is a nevuah about Kibbutz Galios and about Mashiach. He's prophesying what's going to happen. We're going to be in Galos. And what's going to happen to us in Galos? We're going to become a bunch of dried out bones. Dried out bones. And what's the metaphor of the Geula? Tchias HaMesim. We're going to come back alive again. As according to what the Rishonim are saying, who are we? And what are we in Galus? We're dead. What do you mean we're not dead? We're alive. We're vibrant. So much Torah. So many Bate Knesios. So many shuls. We're dead. That's the mashal. Along similar lines, the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Sefer Bereishis and Parshas Vayechi, so the Ramban, throughout the book of Bereishis, depicts the Maisa Avosim and Labanim. So the life of Yaakov and his struggles with Esav reflect Klal Yisrael's struggles with Edom. And that's why Chazal tell us that before we interact with Edom, they used to learn the Parsha of Yaakov and Esav, because that's what it teaches. So, what's the end of the story? What's the end of the story? The end of the story is Yaakov Avinu dying in Mitzrayim and being brought back up to Eretz Yisrael for burial. And the Ramban goes ahead and he says an amazing thing. He says, look at all the parallels. He shows there are many parallels in that story. So the Ramban here, and he alludes actually to this prophecy in Yechezkel. The Ramban tells us that what's going to happen to us? We always talk about how we believe in the Mashiach, we believe in the Gula. It's true. It's true, we believe Ani Mamim Bemuna Shalema B'Viyas HaMashiach. But we're going to die before Mashiach comes. We're going to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael dead. What's pshat? Doesn't mean we're going to physically get killed. Doesn't mean we're going to die in Galus. No. Hashem was maftiach that there's going to be a geula. What it means, and this is the pshat of the Nevuah and Yechezkel, is we're going to spiritually die. We're going to be so dried out that we can only be compared to someone dead. And the fact that we don't feel dead is a reflection of the fact that we don't know what it is to live. And that's why we have such a hard time feeling the experiences of the Yomim Tovim and of Torah and of Yadus as we should. The Kuzari puts this idea, also referring to the Psukim in Yechezkel, in a remarkable way. Amar HaChaver. The Kuzari is a conversation between the Chaver and the Khazar king. So the Chaver said, Kein hu kasher amarta. The Khazar king had basically said that without your prophets and without your Kohanim, you're like a body without a head and heart. Because the Chaver had compared the Nevi'im and the Kohanim to our head and our heart. We don't have any of those. So the Khazar king said, so what are you? What's left of you? What's left of you? So he says, Kein hu? Kasher Marta, you're right. But it's even worse. The Od, the Lo Guf. We don't even have a body. Aval atzmos mifuzaros, kimo atzmos hayeveshos asher ra Yechezkel. We are a bunch of dried out bones. V'im kol zeh melech Kuzar. But I want to tell you something, Mr. Kuzari King, your majesty. Even though it's true, we're a bunch of dried out bones. Elu ha'atzamos asher nishar bahem teva mitiv'e hachayim. We might be dried out bones, but we were once part of a living organism. V'kfar yukelim l'rosh v'lelev v'ruach v'nefesh v'seichal. These bones were once kelim for a head and a heart. And that is better. Tovim megufos mitsuyaros me'evin v'sid v'rosh v'einayim. The lochala bahem meolam rachaya, the efshar shiyachul bahem, that have never lived, a statue, achem atzuros domos latzuros adam ve'enem adam. So the Kuzari here gives a fascinating mashal. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you go. I've actually never been there, but what's it called? Mrs. Trousseau's Wax Museum. Something like that? Madame Trousseau? Okay, so the images in Madame Trousseau are apparently very realistic looking. So you take a statue at Madame Trousseau, Amish looks alive, and you take a dried out bone, and I ask you, which one of these is closer to life? So, first glance you might say, The Madame Trousseau wax statue is a lot more similar to a living human being than this bone. But the truth is that the bone is a lot closer to a human being, because this bone was once part of a real human being. And the other, the wax thing, is not at all part of a human being. and never had anything to do with a real human being. And not only that, but you could take from that bone, from the genetic material in that bone, and recreate life. And you can't do that with the most impressive wax statue in the world. So that's what the Chaver says to the Melech HaKuzarim. He says to him, look, you might think that you're more alive than us because we're just a bunch of dried out bones. But in reality, who's closer to the true tzura of a person? It's the dried out bone. And that's the yesod. We're a bunch of dried out bones in Mugalas. But we can, one day, not only can we, but we will come back. And that's why when you look in the Chumash, when it depicts what is the Geula, So, it talks about, of course, Kibbutz Galios. Of course, it talks about the fact that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll be in a much better position. We'll be autonomous. We will be live a life of prosperity. We won't be attacked. But it doesn't just say that. Listen to the psukim from Dvarim Perek Lamed. The description of the galus and the gula. Hayaki avoy alacha kol advarim ha'ila. Habracha v'aklala shenasati lefanecha. V'ashevos alavavacha b'chol akoyim asher yidachacha. Hashem elokacha shama. V'shavta ad Hashem elokacha. V'shamata v'kolo b'chol asher anochi mitzavcha. Hayom atov v'anacha b'chol v'avcha v'chol nafshecha. So you're going to do tshuva in galus. V'shav Hashem elokacha shvuscha v'richamecha. And Hashem will go ahead and gather you from all the nations that you're there. Even if you're at the far flung corners of the world, from there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will gather you in. And you'll be brought back to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem will make you better and more multiple than your forefathers. Umal Hashem alokecha es levavcha ves levav zayacha. And Hashem will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. Li'avas Hashem alokecha, to love Hashem your God. B'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha l'man chayecha, with all your heart and all your soul. The geula is not just about returning to Eretz Yisrael. It's about removing the arlas halev. Right now, our hearts are arelin. There's an arla. There's something that's preventing us from connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully. We don't have nevuah. We're far. And the geula is about that mila of the arlas halev. It's taking that off. It's taking our hearts of stone and turning them into hearts of flesh. That's what the geula is. So what? Lihavas Hashem alokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha, so that we could love Hashem in a way that we can't now. So, I'm not saying that there's nothing we could do now. There are people who mamish have very close connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in Galus. But one thing that I think about on Tisha B'Av is this point, is the fact that I feel so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I feel that my Shmiras HaMitzvos are so dry and lack emotion. And I think about how hard it is to experience the Yamim Tovim as they should be experienced. And I'm not just blaming it on the Galus. That would be an excuse, because there are people that could do much better than, that do much better than me. But still, it's so hard. And we feel so far. And sometimes we feel like we don't even have the ability to come closer. And that's what we mourn. It's not just about the persecution, but it's about our distance. And the Geula is not just about the end of persecution, but it's about coming back to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we should be zocha to see that day when that nevuah is mekuyim umal Hashem Elokeinu es arlas levaveinu, so that we could love Him and fear Him as we should. So that was the ha'ara. So I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the hanhagos. First of all, of zecher lechorban that we do the whole year long, and then some of them on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says the following: Kishacharav habayis b'shniya, rabu prushim b'Yisrael, shelo lachol basar v'shelo lishtos yayin. These were people who understood what they lost. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there were many prushim, people who decided, we're not going to eat meat, we're not going to drink wine anymore. Why? Amar lahem nitfal ben Rabbi Yoshua. Yoshua dealt with them. Amar lahem b'ni, mipnei ma yatem ochlim basar, ve'einatem shosin yayin. Why aren't you drinking wine, eating meat? Amar lo, no chal basar shemimenu makriven al gabi mizbeach, v'ach shabata. How could we eat meat anymore? There's no longer any mizbeach for which, upon which this meat could be brought. We're going to drink wine. There's no longer any nisuch hayayin. And this, by the way, is the source for our practice during the 9 days not to have meat and wine. Think about it, it's a little strange. We don't have meat and wine nowadays during this 9 days. So some of the practices during the 9 days are nihugei avelos, like the Isser Kibbutz and the Isser Rechitza and the like. But an Avel is allowed to have meat. An Avel is allowed to drink wine. In fact, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Lo nivra yayin elo lemare nefesh. Wine was created for Avelim. In Onain, meaning to say before Kfura, then there's an Isser Achilas Basar Shdias Hayin, but an Avel, even during Shiva, can have meat and wine. So, if an Avel during Shiva, which is obviously more chamor than the 9 days, can have meat and wine, why is it that we have this minhag not to have meat and wine? The answer is because of this. It's because we think about the fact that we no longer have karbanos. How could we have meat? There's no longer any karbanos. Changes your perspective a little. So, that's what they told Rabbi Yoshua. So he said to them, well, if you're correct, imkain lechem lo nochal shekvar batel minachos. Maybe you shouldn't have bread. After all, meal offerings cannot be brought either. Minachos were like bread. So if you're not going to have meat because there's no karbanos, so you shouldn't have bread either. So they said, fine, efshar beperos. We won't eat bread. We won't eat meat. We won't drink wine. We'll just eat fruit. We'll become vegetarians, but, you know, non-carbohydrate vegetarians. So he said to them, what do you mean? Peros lo nochal, shekvar batlu bikurim. You shouldn't be able to eat peros either, because there's no bikurim anymore. After beperos acherem, they only brought the bikurim from the shivas aminim. So we'll eat apples and oranges. Mayim lo nishta. You shouldn't be able to drink water. Shekvar batlu nisuch hamayim. One of the special avodos in the Beis HaMikdash on the holiday of Sukkot was Nisa Chamayin. So you shouldn't be able to drink water. Ah, shasku. You can't get around that. So Amru Lahen, Bini, Bov Amru Lahen, Shalolis Avel Kol Iker Iafshar, Shekvar Nigzira Gzeira, Lis Avel Yosher Midai, Iafshar, Shein Gozrung Gzeira, Al Atzibur Elim Kein Rov Atzibur Yichon Lamod Bo, Dechsev Meira Atam Nerim, Vosi Atam Kovim Agoy Kulo. Listen, you can't not be Miss Avel at all, but you also can't go too far. Because the truth is that in Galus, Hashem wants us to live. Not just live, do mitzvos. Elakachan ruchachamim. So there's certain things that we shouldn't do in Galus. To remember the Beis HaMikdash, what are they? Sad Adam es beiso besid. Umishayir davar muat. So when you're plastering your house, you should leave over a part, something that's undone. Bekama, Amar Rav Yosef, Amma al Amma, one square Amma. Amar Rav Chista, Kenegeda Pesach, where should you leave over this unfinished aspect of your house? That's one square Amma, opposite the door. Number one. Number two, Osa Adam Kol Tzarchei Seuda, Umishayir Davar Muat. Person should make a whole meal, but leave over something. Mahi, Amar of Papa, Kasa Daharsana. And finally, Osa Isha Kol Tachshiteha, a woman should adorn herself, but Umishayeres Davar Muat, leave something over. Mahi, Amar Rav Sada. Shenemar, Imesh Kachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini, Tidbak Lashoni Lachiki. In other words, we always have to remember that we're missing something. And we do that by never completing something. We finish our house, but we leave over a little area. We have a nice, fancy, festive meal, but we leave off one dish. When a woman adorns herself, puts on all of her nicest jewelry, she leaves over one thing. Ma'al rosh simchasi. What does that mean in that pasuk? Im lo ala Yerushalayim rosh simchasi. Amar Rav Yitzchak, ze efer makla shebirosh chasanim. This is the minhag. We do this today. That a chasan on his makom hanachas tefillin over here at the chasana, put a little ashes. Even Rosh Simchasi, we don't want to forget. Amar of Papa Labai Hechan Manach, La, where do you put it? B'makom Tefillin, Shenemar, Losum Lev Leitzion, Laseislam, Pe'er Tachas Efer. Pe'er is the glory reflected by Tefillin in place of Efer, in place of ashes. B'chol Misavel, Yerushalayim, Zolcha V'ra B'Simchasa. And anyone who is Misavel properly in Yerushalayim is Zolcha V'ra B'Simchasa, Shenemar Simchus Yushalayim. We'll talk about in a moment why, for the most part, we don't actually do any of the three practices that the Gemara said we should do. But first, one other Gemara. This one is from Brachos. Amar Bnei Ravina Avad Hilula Lebrei. So he's making a chasana for his son. Chazinu L'Rabbanan Dehavu Ka Badchi Tuva. He saw that the Rabbanim at the wedding were getting a little too, there's a little much, too much levity, a little too much simcha. I see Kasa de Mukra Bas Arba Me'azuzi took a valuable cup, the Tavar Kamayu, and he broke it. That's evil. They were sad. They calmed down. Even though, seemingly, this is a terrible thing to do, Bal Tashchis, but it was something that was appropriate. Because even at a chasana, as joyous as it is, and the truth is, every chasana has an aspect of even geula. Chasana is kilubana achas micharvos Yerushalayim, the Gemara says. But still, we can't forget. it's something that always has to be in our mind. And this, Tosfos points out over there, is the basis for the custom that we all know of breaking the glass at the Nisuin. I know that a number of the Rosh Yeshiva here point out that the more common practice of breaking it after the Imeshkachecha song, before they start the music, so it achieves the opposite effect, because it almost seems like, ah, break the glass, now let's get started. So they recommend doing it in the middle of the Mishkachech. So I was recently at a wedding. It's an out-of-town wedding. And I told the chassan to break the glass. I said, don't break it at the end, break it in the middle. So he did that. And then the band got all confused, and they stopped at Mishkachech in the middle. And they started the na-na-na-na-na-na. So I guess the lesson is, if you're going to do that, you have to make sure to tell the band first. Otherwise, it was doubly the wrong message. Anyhow, that's the yesod. So why don't we observe these practices? So it's not so clear. The Shulchan Aruch, that was Paskin, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, V'chein eskinu she'orech shulchan laso sudal orchem. When you're making a big festive meal, mechaser mimenu me'at, you should leave over a little bit. U'miniach makom panui below ka'ara. Menakaros, you leave over a place without putting down a dish. So, Tabir Halacha says, Tzarchiyot, she'kol ze eino agin klal. The Chayadam already points out, we don't seem to do this. Some Achronim say maybe that's because it wouldn't be a hecker, because if I make a festive meal and I leave out a dish, so nobody realizes that I left out a dish. They just think this is what was made, right? Maybe this halacha only applies when in some way it was nicker, that something that should have been here is being left out. And likewise, this halacha about tachshitin, the same thing, that you shouldn't wear all your jewelry. So again, maybe the reason why we're not mekel, we're not machmer in this, is because, again, it's not nicker. If a person wears one less piece of jewelry, so it's not nicker, they're doing something less for the korban, they're just not wearing everything. Maybe, in a world where everybody, most people, didn't have so much jewelry, so when they got dressed up, they would wear all their jewelry, every single piece. So then, if they dafka leave one off, so then it would be nikkur that that's a zecher l'chorpad. But if somebody has 20 pieces of jewelry, and they never wear more than 5, so they wear 4, so it's not nikkur. And in terms of the minag of leaving off a amal ama, so some people do this nowadays. Some people are mekayim this halacha of not leaving over a certain amount unplastered. Many people don't. The Aruch HaShulchan says maybe it's because we don't really use sid. The Gemara was talking about a certain way of house construction that we don't do anymore, so maybe technically speaking this halacha doesn't apply. I suppose the only thing left from that Gemara is that which isn't even explicit in a Gemara, but it's the breaking of the glass. But if we're not going to be mekayim these halachos, what we need is certainly to remember the message, which is that it's dafka at the times when we're most happy and we're feeling the most complete, whether it's during a festive meal, whether it's during a wedding, whether it's when we finally build our dream house with all of the fixes that we want, a milchik sink and a fleishik sink and a parv sink and granite counters that you should kasher for Pesach and all of the wonderful features, but to realize that something is chaser. And that's the takeaway from that Gemara in terms of what we're supposed to feel. A halacha that comes up in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, and this is also a halacha in Hilchos Avelos, is the Isser of Talmud Torah. It's actually very interesting because this halacha applies in Hilchos Avelos, and it also applies on Tisha B'Av. And many of the parallels of Avelos express themselves during Tisha B'Av. Many of the restrictions on Tisha B'Av are similar to the Shiva. But there's actually a different pasuk quoted here for Avelos and for Tisha B'Av. The pasuk in Avelos, why an Avel shouldn't learn, is because Hashem tells Yechezkel, Hanek Dom, you should be quiet. It's a story in Yechezkel. We could discuss it another time. It's a fascinating story. But Yechezkel was supposed to act out being an Avel without Nihugei Avelos. And that was a message about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But one of the things that we learn from there is that an Avel is supposed to be silent. And from that we learn two halachos. We'll talk about both of them now. One is the Isser Talmud Torah. And one is the Isser of She'elah Shalom. So first the Isser of Talmud Torah. So that's why an Avel is supposed to be quiet. He's not supposed to learn Torah because he's supposed to be silent. In terms of Tisha B'Av, the Gemara quotes another pasuk. It says the reason why you're not supposed to learn is because Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Sam Chelev. Learning Torah is so joyous. Maybe not tonight. But in general, Talmud Torah is something that's very joyous, or at least should be very joyous. So, therefore, we don't learn Torah. So, because two different sources are given, Rabbeinu Tam actually originally thought that there's a difference between Avelos and Tisha B'Av. He felt that during Avelos, one can't even learn Dvarim Raim. The sad things that one is allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, like Eicha and the sad parts of Yirmiyahu and Megillas Eicha and all those things, even those are asur. Why? Because it says dom, quiet. Shiva is a time for being quiet, reflection, quiet reflection, even not Torah. Then it says at the end of his life, Rabbeinu Tam changed his mind, and he thought that, no, actually, you could learn Dvarim Raim. Apparently, he thought that the pasuk of Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Sam Chelev modifies Hanek Dom. Either way, on Tisha B'Av, one can certainly learn the Dvarim Raim, sad things. So I think there's two ways that we could view this halacha. One of them is, well, can't learn happy things, but we'll let you get away with sad things. And I know that somebody could learn Hilchos Avelos, and it could be very geschmack. I happen to be learning Hilchos Avelos this summer. Ah, so much fun. So, what about Tisha B'Av? So, some poskim say, well, don't learn it b'ion. Learn it b'vkias, learn it a little more quickly and superficially and the like. And some poskim even say, yeah, you know, you should not try to get excited about it and enjoy it, but if it happens, so it happened to Mela. Well, okay, what could you do? So you're going to enjoy the learning as long as you don't try to enjoy it. The Aruch HaShulchan compares it to, he says, the Avel's not supposed to work during Avelos, but let's say he doesn't go to work, but his stocks go up, or he gives birth to a baby. Of course he's going to be happy. You just can't do things actively to produce joy. So if it happens, it happens. But other poskim say no, that's not the pshat. The pshat is that you're supposed to learn these things, like the Kolbo says, because they will cause a person, or help a person, to get into the proper mood, the proper spirit of the day. In other words, it's not just that this is a heter to learn these things, but you should learn these things so you could feel the proper feelings of Avelos. In fact, the Maharsha even says, though I don't think the Rishonim sound this way, that really the Isser of Talmud Torah during Avelos is not Al Pekudei Hashem Sam Chelev. That was for Tinoko Shel Beis Rabban. And really, The reason why it's aser is because you can't be mesiach das min havelos. A person should not lose focus on the havelos. If you start learning, you lose focus. One's allowed to learn dvarim harayim because instead of causing you to lose focus on the havelos, they'll help you focus on the havelos. But that's the goal, to help one focus on the havelos. And that being the case, I think everyone sort of has to think about in terms of their activities on Tisha B'Av and even the things they're going to learn, what's going to help me focus on my avelos? What's going to help bring me to that feeling of avelos, which is sometimes so hard to achieve on Tisha B'Av? And that's the goal of learning even Dvarim Rayim. That's the first nekuda. The second nekuda is, as I mentioned, Sheila Shalom. Sheila Shalom. So what exactly is meant there? So as I mentioned, in terms of Hilchos Avelos, we actually learned that as well from the Pasuk of Hanek Dom. One should be silent. It's actually interesting because there's a bit of confusion here. There's two halachos about She'ela Shalom. One is that someone who's an Avel during Shiva can't be Shalal B'Shalom Acherim. Why? Because at Hanek Dom, he should be silent. So that's why when you go pay a Shiva call, the Avel shouldn't say Shalom Aleichem when he sees you or the like. Hanek Dom. And the Rambam, of course, stresses a point which is obvious in a sense, that im b'sheil shalom nasar b'avel, kal v'chomer shu aser laharbos dvarim v'lischok shenemar don. If silence means he can't even say shalom aleichem, silence means he can't even learn Torah, so certainly he shouldn't, the Avel should not joke around. V'lo yochaz tinok biyado, shelo yavienu l'dei schok. One shouldn't even, an Avel shouldn't even hold a baby, lest that lead to schok, etc. So that's one din. And that only applies during the Shiva. After the Shiva, the Avel can be shol b'shlom acherim, meaning say the Avel can say shalom aleichem somebody else. But then there's another halacha, which is that other people can't do She'ela Shalom to the Avel. And that lasts the entire period of their velus. So if it's for a parent, it's 12 months, and it's for other relatives, it's 30 days. So that means that a person can't say to an Avel, Shalom Aleichem. So there's a discussion in the poskim, not for now, exactly the gader of what this is. Some say, well, maybe it's only if you use the word Shalom. So you're allowed to say good morning. And some even say, even if you say Shalom Aleichem, maybe if you don't do it in a very powerful way, that might also be okay. Probably it's better to avoid saying Shalom Aleichem to an Avel. I think we're makel to say good morning or something like that, good Shabbos to them. But that's the second din. So how does that play out in terms of Tisha B'Av? Again, we have two dinim. Din number one is that the Avel, in this case that's us on Tisha B'Av, we can't be Shal B'Shalom Acherim, and also Acherim, other people can't be Shal B'Shalomein. So what does that mean? So the Gemara in Tainus says like this. Kol mitzvos hanogos b'Avel nogos b'Tisha B'Av. All nihuge avelos, all avelos practices, apply on Tisha B'Av. Aser b'achila v'shtia, uvesicho v'nilas asandal v'tasha shamita, eating, drinking, sicha, that's anointing, wearing shoes, tasha shamita, aser likros b'torv nivim ksuvim, Tisha B'Av we can't study Tanakh, u'lishamas b'mishav talmud gemara medrash halachos agados, This is one opinion. We don't accept this opinion, but one opinion says you could even study things that are new. Why? Study something new. It's not geschmack. It's painful. The geschmack comes at the end because, you know, the first time you learn something, it's so hard. You don't understand anything. You have a million questions and no answers. You work on it for a while, then the joy comes at the end. We don't accept that view. But you could also learn kinos, Eov, Dvarim Raim, Shabiyirmiya, Tinoko, Shabbos Rabban, Betelin. Rav Yehuda Omer, Afinuk, fine. Fine. So that's what the Gemara says. So it's very interesting because it doesn't mention Shela Shalom. But at the same time, it does say that the other, you know, all Nihugei Avelos seem to apply. So it's not clear what this means, but practically what the Ramban says is it makes sense that there is an Isser Shel Shalom, and moreover, it's like after 3 days of Avelos. For the first 3 days of Avelos, if somebody asks the Avel, says Shalom Aleichem, because they don't know he's an Avel, so the Avel can't respond. To tell them I'm an Avel, I can't respond. After 3 days, the Avel's allowed to respond. So, the Ramban says that's the din in Hilchos Avelos, and Hilchos Tisha B'Av. So, that's the halacha, except it's not exactly the halacha. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Ein Shel Shalom L'Chaveiro B'Tisha B'Av. So, we don't have Shel Shalom. Ved Yoto She'enem Yodim Menosim Shalom. Let's say somebody gives you shalom, they don't know that it's aser. So then, Meshivim Lam B'Safa Rafa V'Kovid Roshi, respond with a lot of seriousness. Which is interesting, because it's not actually the din in Avelos after 3 days. But L'chora the Pshat is, there are different explanations, but L'chora the Pshat is that everybody should know this. If they don't know this, you teach it to them, not by saying, you know, what are you doing? Tisha B'Av, but you respond in a way that will help them appreciate the gravity of the situation and the like. But I picked these two things to mention, Talmud Torah and Shel Shalom, because really, like we saw, they both come from the same makor of Hanik Dom. Of being quiet. That's the avod of an avel, to be quiet. It's a time of reflection, and introspection. And I find that sometimes on Tisha B'Av, Baruch Hashem, there's tremendous programming on Tisha B'Av. But sometimes what we lack is that hanikdom, is the reflection and introspection, because we're so busy going to shiurim and watching movies, beautiful movies, appropriate Tisha B'Av movies, but we don't have the Hanik Dom. And if we're so busy doing Tisha B'Av activities that we don't have those time for private, personal reflection and introspection, then oftentimes it's very easy to miss. I have to tell you that as a rabbi, that's particularly hard, because, you know, I'm going to give keynotes the whole morning, so I find it very hard to like talk about the things and feel them at the same time, because when you're teaching, you're thinking so much about what you're going to say and what it sounds like in the presentation. It's hard. But I think it's true even when you go. So if you're here on Tisha B'Av, and you know, you want to space out for a moment and focus. on what we're supposed to focus on. So I think that's very important. And again, I don't think I could handle that all day or for long periods of time, because at a certain point one loses focus. But at the very least, to set aside some time on Tisha B'Av to try to fulfill that Hanek Dom, being quiet, introspection, reflection, in a personal way, not just hearing other people's thoughts. So I think that's something that we should all strive for, and though it's hard. It's hard. We're not used to being quiet and being to ourselves anymore. I think in today's day and age, that's something we find particularly difficult, and I certainly include myself in that point. But that's very much part of the Avodas Hayom as well. And Be'ezras Hashem will be Zocha that if we could do that. So we hope even before Tisha B'Av, it won't be a day of Avelos, but we should be married to be Zocha to see Tisha B'Av becoming a Yantif. And we should see a Kiyam of Kol HaMisavel Yushalayim Zocha Aviral B'Simchasa.